Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bambasra daf Kuf Samach Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We are holding at Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, four lines from the end of the page on Kuf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. So you're sponsored by Dr. David Lander and on his wife and children, and leading this from his mother called the Basimcha Aleh Shalom, and Shamash Avin Aliyah, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss very briefly is how to salvage a shtar that has a mechika, that if you see clearly something was erased in the shtar, is there anything you could do to still make that shtar kosher without having to suspect that there was funny business, that shtar is mezuyaf? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the last line of a shtar, the idea that we don't learn anything from the last line and that we're supposed to just repeat mei in yono shel shtar in the last line, where we have a raya that's in fact what we're supposed to do. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about how much space may be left between the shtar and the signatures at the end of the shtar. And we're going to talk about filling in some of that extra space with Eidim Psulim as well. So the entire daf, essentially, beyond the first line that we're going to read, is all about the end of the shtar, the last line of the shtar, or the spacing between that last line and the Eidim signed on the shtar. So let's begin. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMechakin Kulan, any erasures that you have in the shtar and are not in the space of the writing of Sharir V'Kayam, which we said before is going to be kosher, Tzarech Sheyichtov V'Dein Kiyum Mehen. At the end of the shtar, you should write that this is their Kiyum, meaning at the end of the shtar, you should identify the places that have an erasure and write that this is MS, that whatever it says in the shtar as is true, because otherwise you have to be choshesh that that's a ziyuf, that after the Eidim signed, someone erased something, wrote something else in its place, and that that's a ziyuf, and that that's going to be possible. There is a machlokas rishonim about a mechika she'ena mukuyemes, that the Ran and the Mukhi Yosef and the Ramban write that that's going to be that's going to possible the whole shtar, meaning what if you don't write V'den Kiyumeyan at the end of the shtar? You just have a mechika. So what do I do with that shtar? So a group of Rishonim, the Ran, the Mukhi Yosef, in the name of the Ramban and the Ra'a, say, if you didn't do it, so it's possible, because it could be that there was something written in that space that would have possible the whole thing. It could be that they added a Tanai to the shtar, and that Tanai was not Mekuyim, and therefore the whole shtar is invalid. We don't know what it said over there. However, the Rashba himself holds that the mechika does not pasul the whole shtar, and we are not choshesh that there was a tanai that was written there. The shtar is kosher except for whatever is written on that mechika. If there's something new that's not related to the rest of the shtar written on that mechika, that we ignore, but the rest of the shtar is going to be kosher. So the Yad Ramah writes that yes, we have to be choshesh that there was something written there that would have pasul the shtar, but he says by every mechika you have to see what could have been written there, meaning if there's a mechika in the space where the date occurs, so you shouldn't pasul the entire shtar, because what are the chances that instead of writing, it says on the mechika, date of Kislev, so what are the chances that in that place, instead of saying 6th or 7th or that, it said, if you give me $1 billion, meaning there's no chance that there was a Tanai written in that space, meaning you got to use your head a little bit, says the Yad Ramah, as far as what could have been written in that space. So if there's a mechika on the date, so then the date is possible. You have to assume that the zman is possible. If the mechika was on the amount of money, so you shouldn't be mevatel, then you're mevatel the amount of money as far as the shtar is concerned. But the rest of the shtar is still going to be a valid shtar. So those are three approaches. So again, approach number one is anytime there's a mechika, who knows, it could have included a tanai that would invalidate the whole shtar, and therefore the whole shtar is possible. Approach number two is the Rashba that the rest of the shtar you trust, just the makom mechika you don't trust. And then the middle ground, the Yad Ramah, that says use your head, look at where the mechika is and what it could have been, and if it could not have been a Tanai, then don't invalidate the shtar. If it could have been a tanai, then yes, invalidate the shtar. Okay, so now we move on to the main topic of today's daf, and that is v'tzorach sheyachzor me'inyano shel shtar b'shita achrona. That in the last line of the shtar, you should review the basic content of the shtar before the edim sign, meaning the last line of the text of the shtar. Meaning, don't write anything new in that last line. Just write things that are unnecessary to write, a chazara of what it said previously in the shtar. Now, my taima, why do we do that? Why do we chazar over in the last line of the shtar everything that said previously, or some of the things that said previously? It's because we don't learn anything from that last line if it was not previously mentioned in the shtar. Because, and the reason for that is it's difficult for Edim to put their signatures to be mitzamtzem, to dafka put their signatures so close to the nusach of the shtar. So sometimes when the Edim sign on the bottom of the shtar, they're going to leave a little bit of space between the end of the text of the shtar and their chasimos. So since in that little bit of space, the balash shtar is able to write whatever he wants after the Edom sign, he sees that they left him a blank check, right? Meaning they signed on the bottom, and now there's a couple of lines, so he'll write, and also you have to give me $1 billion. And also, so the Chavur Misakin don't learn anything from that last line. They leave one line of space, so good, so that line of space could be filled in with just a Chazara, and if it's not, if it's filled in with anything new, we don't learn anything from that last line. So Rabbi Yochanan says, just be Chazur Min Yonos Shoshar B'shit Achor, and then Mimanashuch. If he's not Mizayif and doesn't add anything in that line, so there's no loss because he's not going to learn from the Shita Achrona anyway, because there's nothing new in the Shita Achrona. And if he is Mizayif and he adds another line, so there's also no loss because he's not going to learn from that additional line, and the Shita Achrona didn't say anything anyway. It was just a Chazara Mein Yonel Shel Shtar. So that's how you save any trouble. Now, so we had said that the reason for this is, as the Rashbam explains, that the Edom might leave a space of a line in between the end of the shtar and their own signatures because it's hard to be mitzamtzem. The Adrama writes that the chashash is that it's hard to be mitzamtzem, but that the Edom who signs first is purposely going to leave a line in between the end of the shtar and his signature out of respect for the other aid, right? I've been in that situation. I'm asked to sign the ksuba with another rabbi. The other rabbi is a kohen. He's more senior than me. So he's a bigger Talmud Chacham. This happens all the time. So I'll say, you know, you sign first. So you're a shul rabbi. You sign first, whatever it is. So sometimes a person might want to sign in a way that, okay, I'll sign first and you sign the bottom line so that the other person gets the top line. So says the Ad Ramah, that's what's going on over here. He's going to leave an empty space so that the other signature could be above him. The Ad Ramah says they don't want to say that it's usher for Edom to be marchik even a single line, because then Edom are not going to want to sign shtaros. If they're going to put too many restrictions on exactly how to sign, people aren't going to be interested in signing shtaros. It's going to be nol delos b'fnei lovin, meaning they could have made two takanas. One takana they could have made is be careful, just sign right after the ksav. Or they could have made a takana like they did, which is an unusual takana, that just ignore the last line of every shtar. So he said they didn't want to be misakin the other way, to be careful, because Edom wouldn't be thrilled with that. And then people are going to be too nervous to sign shtaros. The Ad Ramah adds that it's only if you leave one empty line that it's going to be kosher, because to leave a space for a more mechubdik aid, it's enough to leave just one line. But two lines they leave, or more than that, we don't say that he's leaving space for many Edim to sign, because ain't ledavar sof, meaning why would you do that? You don't need more than two Edim, and therefore since it's also to sign that way, they weren't choshesh that that's going to happen, that a person's going to leave more than one line. Now Tosos writes in Dibra Maskelefi that since the whole chashash is that the Baal Ashtar is going to be mezayef and he's going to add whatever he wants into that extra line, what if in that last line it says things that are mechayiv the Baal Ashtar, that work to his detriment and not to his benefit? So Tos says, then kein lemeidin mishita achrona, then we can learn from the shita achrona. I mean, the whole concern of the shita achrona is whoever's holding on to the shtar is going to add in extra things that are going to benefit him. So if there's anything that's written in that last line that works to his detriment, then you do learn from the shita achrona. However, the marsha writes that it sounds from the Rashbam on Kuf Samach Aleph and Beis in Dibra Maschul V'Tzarech, not like Tosos, that you don't write on the Shita Achrona any Dvar Chiddush, and even if you wrote something L'chovas Balashtar, we don't learn from that which was written on the Shita Achrona, even L'chovas Balashtar. So it seems like it's a machlokas between Tosos and the Rashbam on that Shita Achrona, if there's something to the detriment of the Balashtar. Now we had said so Mimanavshach, it's now not going to be a problem, because if the guy was mezayef something in the Shita Achrona, we're going to ignore it anyway. So there is a machlokas rishonim about the geder of this takana that you have to be chozer meinyano shastar b'Shita Achrona. Meaning the way Chazal were masaking it wasn't just ignore the last line; it was here's what to write on the last line. What you should write on the last line is a chazara of what it had said previously. So Tosos and Kuf Samach Aleph and Beis Dibra Maschil Vitzarich writes that this takana is ma'akiv b'di'evet. And even in a situation where you cannot be mezayif the shtar, if in the last line you didn't chazer the basic inyanu shel shtar, the shtar is going to be pasul. And even if they left an empty space before the chasimah se'edim, so there's no chashash ziyuf, because if you add other things, you're not going to be lomade from it anyway, because ein lemeidin mishita achrona. But the takana was not just ein lemeidin mishita achrona. The takana was to be chozer me'inyanu shel shtar. So if you didn't do that, you didn't do ketikun chachameinu, you didn't do the shtar the way the shtar was the way the chacham instituted that the shtar should be, and therefore the entire shtar is going to be pasul because you were not chozer minyanu shel shtar b'shita achrona. However, a group of Rishonim disagrees. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, they say that that din of being chozer b'shita achron is not ma'akev, it's an etzah tova. That don't write new things because no one's going to look at it anyway. So instead of writing new things, write over a chazara of what it says earlier in the shtar. But the real din was that we just ignore the shita achrona, right? The real din is not about what to write there, it's that we ignore the shita achrona. So that seems to be a machlokas rishonim. Now, within those rishonim that say that if you were not chozer minyanu shel shtar in the shita achrona, that the shtar is still going to be kosher, meaning that second group of rishonim, not like Tosfos, if you leave an empty space before the chasimah se'edim and you're not chozer minyanu shel shtar b'shita achrona, the achronim point out the sma and the tumim on Shulchan Aruch and Simon Mem Dalid that there's still a gzeira to not learn from the shita achrona that's actually written in the shtar, even if there's an empty space in between them. Meaning, if you hold that if you were not chozer b'shita achrona, the shtar is still going to be kosher. What if you were not chozer b'shita achrona? There's an empty space in between the text of the shtar and the and where the edim sign. And so now, can I learn from the actual shita achrona that it says there? Meaning, not the last line before the chasimus edim, because that's blank. What about the line before that? Is there what to learn from the line before that? He says, no, ein lemeidin mishita achrona. Whatever the last line of text is in the shtar, that you ignore. However, the Shach writes that according to this group of Rishonim, they never made this gezeirah. Memela, if it's an empty line at the end of the shtar, and there's no chashash ziyuf, so then we do learn from the last line of actual nusach that's in the shtar, because there is a shita achrona. There is another line after that, and it's blank. Meaning the way the Shach understands this group of Rishonim is that, again, the Takana was never about what you should fill in the Shita Achrona with. It's just that the Shita Achrona should be ignored. So the Shita Achrona could be Chozer Minyanu Shel Shtar, it could have brand new things, or it could have nothing. And either way, the whole Takana is you ignore it. So if it's empty, you ignore it. But the line before that, you don't ignore that. So it's a machlokas in the Achronim, how we even interpret the phrase Shita Achrona. Does it mean the very last line before the Chasimus Eidim, or does it mean the last line of Nusach? And that's all within the Rishonim who assume that the Shita Achrona needn't have a Chazara of Inyanu Shel Shtar. It just should be ignored, right? Tosfos would say, no, the whole Shtar is only going to be kosher if the Shita Achrona actually contains a Chazara Meinyanu Shel Shtar. So that's a Machlokas Achronim within that group of Rishonim that disagrees with Rav Huna. Okay, so The Yad Ramah just has one more point. He says, why were the Chum Masakin not to learn from Shita Achrona? They should have been Masakin that they should write at the end of Shtar Pashut, Hakol Shari V'Kayam. And Meili can't be Mezayif after that at all, right? If you write Hakol Shari V'Kayam, so problem solved. And no one's going to be Mezayif. It's a much more complicated thing to institute that they should be Chazer Minyan Ashkel Shtar and ignore a line of a Shtar. Just say, Ad Kan, Hakol Shari V'Kayam. So he says that sometimes the Malva and the Lova, or the Mocher and the Kona, are going to think that the Shtar is over, and they're going to write a Kol Shir V'Kayam, and then afterwards they're going to realize, ooh, we forgot to add this specific Tanai, we forgot to mention something, and therefore they were not Mesakin to write a Kol Shir V'Kayam. By a get, we do write a Kol Shir V'Kayam. Why am I not worried about that? He said, yeah, that's the whole point. Why were they misakin to do a get makushar? Is because of the Kohanim who are going to divorce their wives too quickly, and we want to slow down the process. So if they write a whole get and they wrote Hakol Shir V'Kayam and then they realize, ooh, we forgot to add it tonight. Good, so write another one. So you'll have to start from scratch. And that's a kiyum of what we're trying to accomplish. Let them write a whole other one. Let them start from scratch. And then maybe he'll think again before divorcing his wife. That's how the Yad Ramah says. Okay, so now the Gemara says, where do I get this idea that your chazer minyan shel shtar b'shita achrona, or that ein lemeidim b'shita achrona rather? Where do you see this din in Tanaim? Where do we find that we're not asking for a makor in psukim? We're asking for a makor in Tanaim. Where do we find that there's such a din that you ignore the last line of a shtar? So Amalei D'Tanya, we have a brisa that hirchikas ha'edim shnei shitin min haksav, that if the edim distance their signatures two lines from the end of the nusach of the shtar, puzzle. Then the shtar is puzzle, because we have to be afraid that you're going to add into those empty lines whatever it is you want to add in. And even if the Edom come to Beis Din and tell us, no, nothing was added in. But it turns out this shtar was not done kitakanas chachamim. It wasn't done the way the chachamim were misakin, and therefore it's going to be puzzle. But shita achas kosher. But if there's one line in between where it was where the shtar ended and where the Edom signed, then it's going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, Maishna Shnei Shitin Dilma Mizayif Akasav Shita Achas Nami Mizayif Akasav. Why is it that if it's two lines that are left in between, it's going to be a big problem, because I have to be Choshesh that you're being Mizayif and you're going to write other things in there, and therefore those shah is going to be puzzle. If you leave one line, you could squeeze in some really good stuff in that one line that you're going to be Mizayif and you're going to ruin the whole shtar. So why is that not a concern to us? Why is it not a concern? Because we have a din that you're not going to learn from whatever it says in the Shita Achrona, that we ignore the Shita Achrona. So since we're going to ignore the Shita Achrona anyway, therefore there's no concern about one blank line in between the end of the Shtar and where the Edim signed. Now Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the Shtar is possible when we leave two blank lines. The Shtar is only possible when we say it's possible, it means to collect from the Chasam. It means it doesn't have the tokef of a milva b'shtar that normally you can collect from the chasim mishubadim. And he says the lova could also the gabi the fact that the lova could taina neged the shtar parati, but the lova cannot taina lahadam on such a shtar. He cannot say lo yedvar me'olam that this never happened, that the loan never happened. Meaning it doesn't have the tokef of a shtar in that you cannot collect from the chasim mishubadim. The lova cannot say I already paid up the loan, but he also cannot say lahadam, that this shtar never happened, even though it's possible. Because that's not the idea that you left two blank lines is not an absolute psul, because we're going to see later in the daf that you can kasher it by adding in edim psulim, that by adding edim psulim in the blank space, that actually kashers the shtar. So the Bir Agra implies that since you could be machshir the shtar by filling in krovim, it's a raya that the edus ha-edim was never fully batel, that the two edim that are kasher, that are signed on the bottom, we're not completely mevatel their edus on account of the blank space. Because if we were completely mevatel their edus on account of the blank space, filling in non-kosher edim shouldn't revitalize their edus. So it must be that we were never fully mevatel their edus. We're just saying it doesn't have a din shtar, but it has a din edus. So therefore the guy still owes the money, but it just doesn't have the tokef of a shtar. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. Now Tosos points out on tomorrow's daf and daf kuf samach gimel and beis that hu adin if you leave a space of two lines between the chasimas ha'eda rishon and the chasimas ha'eda sheni, that it's also going to be possible. Meaning our gemara is talking about that you left two lines in between the end of the nusach and the beginning of the signatures. What if between the two signatures you left two lines? Says Tosos, that's also possible. Why? What's going to happen between the two signatures? What are you going to write in that space? So he says, unbelievably, he says, we're afraid you're going to cut the shtar with the chasima of the first aid. So now you're going to have blanks, two lines of space, and just a signature at the bottom, right? Meaning you'll cut off the whole top of the shtar, the whole nusach of the shtar with the first aid, and now you'll have the second aid with two lines above. So now you could write whatever you want in that space. You can make a whole new shtar and write an IOU for $10 million in that space. So says Tosfos, but wait, it will only have one aid at the bottom, and you can't be motzi mamon al pi aid echad. He said, yeah, all you need to do is get two shtaros like that, and then you'll have shnei aidim, one on each document, and you'll have shnei aidim that says that he owes you $10 million, which is also interesting that works. That you have a shtar with an eid echad and another shtar with an eid echad that you could be motzi mamon based on such a thing. So that's what Tosfos says would be a concern in such a case. Now we had said that if you do leave two blank lines, the Bryce had said puzzle, the whole shtar is puzzle. So the Rashbam explains, why is it puzzle? Because you didn't do ketakanos chazal, meaning you didn't do the shtar the way chazal were misakin the shtar. So the Meiri says that since we see that the Edom are not bekiyim in the way to sign a shtar by the fact that they left two blank lines, we have to be choshesh that maybe there are other things that they don't know as well, and that's why the shtar is puzzle. Not just because they were misakin, it's because what does this tell you about such Edom if they're leaving two lines? So it could be that they don't know that you're not supposed to sign a shtar before the transaction happens, or something like that. So therefore, it's going to be possible. However, the Meiri quotes that the Ravid disagrees and holds that if the Edom come and are Meid, that yes, we signed the shtar, and there was no Ziyuf in the shtar. It looks exactly the way it did when we signed it, and there were some blank spaces, and we left those blank spaces. The Ravid says the shtar is going to be kosher. The Meiri disagrees. He says, because then you have to be Choshesh, that maybe the Edom are not Bekiyim, and there's another psul in the shtar, so what does their Edus help? It's Edus of ignorant people. So it's Edus of people who don't know anything, and therefore that Edus should be completely irrelevant. Okay, so that's, again, all we said so far is that we do not learn anything from the last line of a shtar, and therefore what Chazal were Misake, the best thing to do is to be Chozer Me'inyonu Shel Shtar on the last line of the shtar. The source in Tanayim for such an idea is a brisa that tells us two blank lines pasels a shtar. Two blank lines between the text and the edim pasels a shtar. One blank line between the text and the edim does not pasel the shtar. And the reason it doesn't pasel the shtar is because you're not going to learn anything from that last line anyway. So now the Gemara discusses, we discussed two blank lines, we discussed one blank line, what about somewhere in between? What about one and a half blank lines in between the end of the shtar? So yibayilu, shita umechtsamai. What if you leave enough space for one and a half lines between the end of the nusach of the shtar and the edim? Is it going to be kosher? Because even if you're mezayif and you add another line, you're not going to be lomid from the shita achrona, because whatever line you add is only going to be the shita achrona, because there's no space for two lines. There's no space for two lines of text to be added. Or do we say that it's possible, because you have to be choshesh, that they'll just, change the font size from 11 to 9, and they'll be able to squeeze in two lines in that space. So then they'll be able to mezayif, because there's going to be another line and that's going to be the shita achrona. Now that assumes that the Gemara's discussion over here about a line and a half means that the height of the space between where the shtar ends and where the Edom sign is not a space of one line, not a space of two lines, but is a space of a line and a half. So if each line is a half an inch, this is a 3/4 inch as opposed to, right, of space between the end of the shtar and the Edom. There's another possibility of what a line and a half means, right? A line and a half could mean that the shtar ends, and there's a line, and then another half a line blank, and then the Edom sign at the end of that second line. right? Or it could mean that the shtar ends in middle of a line, so the rest of that line is blank. Then there's another blank line below it, and then that also could be a line and a half. So Tosus quotes that possibility. The maskana of Tosus and Dibra Maskali Baya is the way we explained it, is that it's just the if each line takes up a half an inch, so it's not a half an inch, it's not an inch, it's 3/4 of an inch. That's what a line and a half means. However, Tosus does quote this other possibility, and the Rashba quotes in the name of the Ravid that Shitu Mechza does not mean the width of the lines, it means filling in the length of the lines. That's a confusing way of saying it, width and length. It means filling in the full, the whole line with text, that they don't leave two full blank lines, but one full blank line, and then another half a line, and then the second half of that second line, the Edom sign. So Tosus writes that the suffix is, which one is considered the Shita Achrona? Is the Chati Shura that you have at the on the bottom, right before the Edom, considered the Shita Achrona? And the line above it, you could learn from that, and you could be Mezayif whatever you want in that line, and therefore the Shtar would be Pasul. Or is the Shita Achrona the last full line that was left blank? And maybe even if you add extra things in there, no worries, because no one's going to learn from that anyway. So that's the suffix about this line Umechza. However, Tosus rejects this interpretation, because he says in such a case it's going to be Pashut that the Shtar is Kasher. Because the reason we don't learn from Shita Achrona is because the Edom are not Medayik in their Chasimos, and they're not always going to sign Samach Mamish to the Nusach Hashtar. They could leave we give them a little leeway to leave a space of one line. So over here also, there's a space of one line between the Nusach of the Shtar and the line that they signed on. So it's possible that it's going to be fine, and we're not going to learn from that space, meaning we're giving them that same space. I mean, if you look above their signatures, how much space is there between their signature and the text of the Shtar? It's one line of space in between their signature, above their signature, below the text of the Shtar. Good, so that's your Shita Achrona. It's never Pashut that that's going to be Mutter. So why does Tosus reject the possibility that Shita Umechza doesn't mean the height of Shita Umechza, but rather it means a blank line plus another half a blank line? Because it's a Dover Pashut in that case, says Tosus, that it is Mutter, that would be fine. The Rashba says, I also agree that it cannot mean that, and it cannot mean a line and a half in terms of a blank line, and then another half a blank line, and then the Edom signed on the end of that blank line. And I also agree that it cannot mean that because it's a Dover Pashut, but I think it's a Dover Pashut that it's Pasul. Meaning Tosa says it's a Dover Pashut that it's going to be Kasher, which means, like, if there's Rishonim that say it's a Dover Pashut that it's Pasul, or Rishonim that say it's a Dover Pashut that it's Kasher, it's probably not such a Dover Pashut, right? Which means that it's not a bad interpretation of what Shito Mechza might mean. The Rashba says that it's a Dover Pashut that the Shtar is going to be Pasul, because you could write in that half a line before the Chasimus Eidim whatever you want, and it's going to be the whole thing is going to be Kasher. You could be Mezayif whatever you want, and it's going to be Pashut that it's going to be Pasul. You'll write whatever you want in that last half a line, that's going to become the Shita Achrona, and then the line before that is not the Shita Achrona anymore, and then you can fill in with whatever you want, so that's going to be Pasul. Then Tosus writes, there's also no suffix if the shtar ends halfway through the last line, so you leave the rest of that half line empty, and then the next line empty, because it says that's a double pasul that's pasul, because in that last half line, for sure you could fill in whatever you want, right? I mean, that will for sure not look like the Shita Achrona if the shtar finished halfway through. So if you ever look at a ksuba, so not only do we write Fakal Shor V'Kayam in a ksuba, but they write it in such a way where it stretches across the entire last line. We never finish in middle of a line. And if you do finish in middle of a line, so we fill in we make a squiggly or something to fill it in, to make sure that it's not left with blank space. So that's the shailu. A lot of times you have these ksubas that are written in a circle. They're not written in straight lines, for design purposes, that it's written in a circle. So the question is, technically, if you're creative enough, you could square out the circle and write a lot of new things in that ksuba. So the question is, if that's a problem. So if it's filled with design all around it, so then probably not a problem. Even if it's not filled with design all around it, that would take an enormous amount of creativity to not look weird, you know, to not have like just one line sticking out if you were to add something. So probably it's kosher. I'm more traditional, you know, prefer the straight lines, but probably it's kosher anyway. Okay, so now, all we did is the shayla. The Gemara wanted to know, shita umechzamai, what's the din if you have shita umechzamai, if you have 1.5 lines of blank space? So says Gemara, let's bring a raya. Tashima. If you leave two blank lines in between the end of the Nusach of the Shtar and the Edom, then it's going to be possible. Two lines is possible. Hashito mechza kasher. So we can make a diuk that 1.5, that anything less than 2 is going to be kasher. In fact, the Gemara Ema Seifa Shita Achas Kosher, but the Seifa goes on to say that one blank line is going to be kosher. Shita Achas Hu De Kosher Shita Mechza Pasul, which makes it sound like only one blank line is kosher, but a Shita Mechza line and a half is going to be Pasul. Elameha Leka Lemishma Mina. You can't make any diuk because you have diukim going in both directions about whether 1.5 lines is kosher or pasul, and therefore we cannot derive anything from that price. So my havila, so taka, what do we paskin then? Is a line and a half a problem or is it not a problem? So tashema, the Gemara, so I'll bring you a raya to Tanya. There's a Tosefta in Gittin. Hirchik ha-se'edim shnei shitin minaksav pasul, but it doesn't say shita achas kosher, it says pachos mikan kosher. Anything less than 2 is going to be kosher. So you see, even a little less than shnei shitin is going to be kosher. So certainly shita umechza is not going to pasul the shtar, because in order to write in that space, in order to write 2 lines of content within that space, you'd have to take down the font size so much that it's going to be obvious that something happened over here. The whole shtar is written in an 11 or 12 font, and then in the last 2 lines are written in an 8, and you need a magnifying glass to read. It's obvious that something funny happened over here, and therefore it's going to be kosher. We don't have to worry that someone is going to try to be mezayif and try to pull a fast one on us. There is an interesting discussion in Poskim, the Tshuvas Be'er Moshe, the Debret Zina Rav, in Chelik Hei, Simen Samach Beis, as well as in Chelik Vav, Simen Ayin Hei, was asked about Lecha Mishnah. He says, what if you have a chala and another half a chala? Can you be mistarif a chala and a half a chala for Lecha Mishnah? So he writes that in Tshuvas Chsam Sofer, the Chsam Sofer quotes a Minchas Yaakov, that the halacha to be botzeya al shnei kikaru shleimim is only in a smacht. It's not midin Torah. Because eating lechem mishnah on Shabbos, that's mentioned in the Torah, is only in a smacht. He says you could learn it, and therefore we could say that it's enough to have 1.5. Because the Gemara in Bracha says that when it comes to mishmaros halayla, that a mishmaru mechza is considered to be shnei mishmaros. That's a Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Brachos. So that's what the Minchas Yaakov says. So the Chasam Sofer disagrees with Minchas Yaakov, and he says no raya from the Gemara in Brachos, because the lashon of the pasuk of kidmu einai ashmoros that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, the Gemara is medayik that it's miut rabim shnayim. So, but it never says the word shnayim explicitly. So you could say that 1.5 means it counts as mishmaros, as plural. So it means 1.5, as opposed to when it says shnayim beferish in the Torah, a chati is not bechlal when it says shnayim beferish. So by lecha mishnah, the pasuk says shnei ha'omer le'echad. So we can't count a half a kikar as a shalim to be mitzdarif to lecha mishnah. So it comes along with Yosef Engel in Gilyonei Ashas, and he says we have a raya from our sugya as to whether 1.5 chalas in lecha mishnah counts as lecha mishnah. Why? Because in our sugya, it's a raya to the Chasam Sofer that a half is not considered like a shalem, because the Brisa says that if you're the Edom are marchik shnei shritin, the shtar is pasul. So the Gemara is medayik that if it's shita umechza, the shtar is going to be kosher. Why? Because shita umechza is not the same as shnayim. That 1.5 is not the same as 2. So if you're supposed to have two breads for lecha mishnah and you have 1.5, then you don't have 2. So in the base Aaron, he asks that the Hemshech of the Gemara says the opposite, because the Gemara rejects it and says, well, it says in the Seifa that Shita Achas Kosher. Sounds like if it's shita or mechitzah, it's going to be pasul. And then the Gemara brings a tosefta that's mefurash, that if you're marchik anything less than two, it's going to be kosher. So the Beis Arba says, why does the Gemara need to bring a tosefta to tell me that anything less is going to be kosher? We already said that shnei sounds like two and not one and a half. So it must be that the lashon of shnei could be understood as one and a half as well, just like we have in Maseches Brachos. And therefore, the tosefta needs to be mefarish, that anything less than two is going to be kosher. The fact that initially the Gemara was medayik from the lashon of shnei, that anything less than that is going to be kosher, we could say that the derech of the Gemara is always to ask even what's not going to be such a strong kasha in the end, until we clarify every possible diuk that there is. So he's not convinced by that diuk. So interesting discussion of how this could possibly relate to Lecha Mishnah. So you think, you know, that's a very achronish thing to do. They're going to take a sugi like this and you say it relates to some foreign topic that has nothing to do, some topic from our Chaim in Hilchos Shabbos, and then you read two more lines of Gemara, and the Gemara does the same thing. The Gemara now connects our discussion, which has nothing to do with our Chaim, and it's going to connect it to some random topic in our Chaim. So let's see inside. So says the Gemara. We're just quoting the end of the Brisa that we quoted before. So let's say the signatures are two or more lines away from the end of the Nusach of the Shtar. So in order to be Machshir the Shtar, you want to add in extra signatures in between where the Shtar ended and where the two Edom are signed. So Hayu Arba'a V'Chamisha Edom Chasumen Al Shtar V'Nimtzech Minim Karav Apostle Tiskai Medus B'Shar. So if you have four or five Edom signed on the bottom of the Shtar, and the first one or two are Apostle Edom, don't worry, as long as the last two are Kasher, that's perfectly fine. This is a raya to Chizkia. Damar Chizkia milahu bikrovim kosher. That if you fill it in the blank space with edim krovim, with edim that are not kosher, then the shtar is still going to be kosher. So the Rashbam explains. I'm sorry, Tosfos raises the question, how could it be that when we machshir the shtar that you fill in with Edom, Krovim, and Psulim, isn't this a sugi in the beginning of Makos? Am Rabbi Kiva, Me'idu Shlosha, Edom, V'nimtza Echamim, Karav Upasul, Edusan B'teila, that if you have three Edom, four Edom, come and they testify about something, and one of them is found to be a Karav Upasul, Edusan B'teila, so on the shtar you could have two, three, Krovim, and Psulim, and as long as the last two are kosher, why don't we say it? Say Edusan B'teila. So Tosfos explains that only Edim Psulim that are having Kavana Leheyud L'Shem Edus are going to passel the entire cast. And therefore we ask them, are you coming just to see the Maisa, or are you coming to be Meyid? Right? That's what the Gemara says in Makos. We ask, you know, there are a bunch of people at a wedding, right? What are they doing there? Are they all trying to be Edim? If they're all trying to be Edim, so then maybe Yitaka have a problem. But if there are only two people that are trying to be Edim, and the rest of the people are just family that are celebrating there, so then you wouldn't have a problem. So over here, you don't have to ask the Edom Psulim why they're signing, because the Edom Chasum Mel Shtar is Kamishnach Reidusim BeBezin. So we assume that the Edom Ksherim, their Reidus is Kasher, as if it's already in Bezdin. So the Edom Psulim are clearly not coming to be Meyid. They're just coming to fill in blank space. So if they have no Kavan Lehayid, therefore it's not going to be a problem. Now, Rashbam and Tosas Nim Rav Yudai go and say that yes, it's true. You could fill in Edom Psulim in the blank space, and therefore, as long as you have two kosher edim, it's fine. But those two kosher edim need to be the last two edim. It cannot be that the first couple are kosher edim, and then you fill in a pasul edim beneath them. And that's the Ritva's shita as well. And the Rashbam explains that the reason that that when the first edim are krovim psulim, everyone knows that they're signing only lekavod, or to fill in some blank space, and that's why the shtar is not going to be pasul. But if they sign in on the end, what are they doing? Why it must be that they're doing it l'shem edus, and then you revert back to nimtzeh chamem karav apostel edusan b'teila. If they're signing their mamish l'shem edus, then it's edusan b'teila. So what did the Gemara say? That if you have blank space and two kosher edim, shtar is pasul. But if you have bunch of puzzle edim and two kosher edim, the shtar is kosher. Says Rav Yalta Tama, and don't wonder about this. How could it be that puzzle edim is better than blank space? Share avir suka posel b'shlosha schach puzzle posel bar ba'a. Because it's a mefurish din in Hilchos Sukkah that if you leave airspace of three tvachim, that's going to puzzle the sukkah. But you could have three and a half tvachim schach puzzle. You could have three and three quarters tvachim schach. Only four tvachim schach puzzle. is going to possibly a sukkah. There are two ways that that could happen. Either it's a sukkah katana, it's exactly 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So anytime you have avir of shlosha or a schach pasul of 4, it's going to ruin the sukkah. You don't have a sheer sukkah. Or it's a sukkah gedola, but it only has 3 walls. Meaning, if it's a giant sukkah, it's a 10-am long sukkah, and it's got 4 walls, so I don't care that I have schach pasul in the middle that's 4 tefachim, I just don't sit under it, right? I mean, then you have one sukkah on one side, another sukkah on the other side, each one has 3 walls, and you're fine. But if the whole sukkah only has 3 walls, and running from the center wall across to the blank wall is 4 tefachim schach pasul, then on the right side you have only 2 walls, on the left side you have only 2 walls, then you don't have a kashra sukkah. Now the Rishonim struggle with what on earth does this have to do with anything. So the Miri says the Gemara is speaking b'derech tzachus. You know, it's not an exact comparison. It's being imprecise. Tosfos, however, says that the Gemara is saying that you shouldn't be gozer b'makom that you fill it with krovim apsulim because of the makom that you leave it empty, that it's yochel is daif, just like we find by sukkah that they were never gozer on schach pasul of 3 tefachim atu avir that's pasul. So the question of why didn't they make a gezera? Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up at the top of Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful day.